The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
How's everybody today? Good to see smiling, shining faces. Welcome you visitors. Welcome all of you that have been here before. Well, good to see y'all. Really quick, before I get started, Dan Chide is back there, is filming. So if everybody could kind of keep their head down so only I can be seen. I'm kidding. He didn't tell me to say that. He told me to say the opposite. I always have problems following instructions myself. So don't mind the camera. I don't want to look at myself on that screen. I wish I'd put a towel over it or something. Now I'll know how much I move. But you'll be on camera too, but just the back of your head. But you'll know who you are. So anyways, good morning. We're continuing our build series. I love this topic about building because it's so important for everyone. Every person in this world that God created was created to build or to be a part of. You're all created to do something, all of you. If you're 5 years old, 15, 20, and so forth, up to my age, if not a little beyond. It's a lot of ages, huh? But you're all created for something. You're not an accident. I wasn't supposed to be born. My sister was 11 months when I was born. That I was known as a black sheep. My mom said I was a mistake or an accident. Does this look like an accident? Look at this church. Amazing. And what He's done. You know, God is good. And I got to greet almost all of you this morning. I'm trying to make it a practice to stand by the door, at least to say hello. I know I missed a few of you. And a few of you were a little late. That's why I didn't say hello, so hello to you. Better late than never. You're here. You're in God's house, and this is where we need to be. Amen. I will be reading out of Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And I will be speaking about stirring me up. Someone told me earlier it's a song. I told him I was going to dance it. But I don't know how to dance. I'm like, Jerry, as much as I can do. So I don't know if it's a song. It doesn't matter. There's some words in there that God used. And He used that word in particularly, stir, to stir people. Amen? So Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading out of a New King James Version. I believe I might have used another type of a translation on the screen. It might be God's Words translation, which I like using off the internet. It reads like this, Ezra 1, 1 through 5. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea, who is among you of all his people. May his God be with you, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of this place help him with silver and gold and goods and livestock besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. The last verse 5, then the heads of the fathers of the houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites and all whose spirits God had moved arose to go and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this Bible. We thank you for your Holy Scripture that instructs us, that helps us, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning and just stir our hearts, move in us, God, and have your way this morning. Help us to learn something fresh today that we can go practice and apply. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezra and Nehemiah were forerunners to Jeremiah. You see? And I believe this morning, before I even start looking at my notes here, I believe it's very important what God gave me here to write that I want to share with you. All this week, as usual, it was just been horrendous for me to get the study time in, to pray with work. Like all of us work, we're all busy people. A lot of things were coming against me. And even to share, as my wife is my witness this morning, I got up early and preparing my notes, put in my Bible. Even a spirit of fear and nervousness came upon me. I was like getting sweaty. I go, what's wrong? To the point where I had to go to the restroom. And I said, you know what, God, this is not of you. I'm going to still go over there and tell them about you. I'm not going to stop, God. You use me and you tell me what to tell them. So here I am telling you what Ezra would instruct. And God would use these men to bring instruction. And even through Ezra and Nehemiah, and then it goes into Jeremiah prophesying about what's coming. See, God's been stirring hearts from the beginning of time. He always has. But many wouldn't follow. Even from Adam and Eve. It's funny that even today, from way back then till today, there's so many religions, so many beliefs. There's 270 solid religions right now. The ones we can probably verbally know off the tip of our mind. There's thousands, possibly 4,000 other beliefs and religions that were just made up by man that are out there as well. And God's been wooing these people into the truth, into his word. Which one's the right scripture? Which one's the right church? Which one's the right book to read? The Holy Scripture, God's word. I tell people, just read verse 1 in Genesis. In the beginning, God created. Start there. People want to skip all that. In the beginning, God. It's always been God. But we have twisted it and turned it. People, beliefs, religions, different denominations. Folks, we're all one body. My prayer is that all the churches would come together one day and put all their regs and regulations and how you should dress and look. You know, just come to church. Hear of God. Read the scripture. And today, even today, many of us are just comfortable hearing God's word and not doing. You see, we come to church every Sunday when we can. Say, oh, I'm good. Oh, I'll be okay for another month. I'll go next month. No, you won't. I told someone earlier as well, as I was speaking with him, I cannot take my nose out of this and my life and my prayer life, because I'll dwindle, like, and from one day to another, I'll stop. All the world and my other friends and the things that I used to like are waiting for me. I got to stay in his word. I want to keep building for Jesus and for his house and his church and families, and however I can instill any kind of wisdom or direction or a testimony sharing of my past that would help you folks, the church, the body. Don't get comfortable. See, Ezra is a book of God's people returning from a 75-year exile in Babylon. They were slaves all these years. And God looked down and said, okay, have you guys had enough of turning from me? Because even Jeremiah, towards the future of this book, he prophesied. You know what? King Cyrus, Babylon's going to be desolate. It says, I believe in Jeremiah 25, not in my notes. I've been doing my homework. Jeremiah 25, he says it. God, and the Lord says, Babylon is going to be desolate from then when they wrote it and God said it up till now. Where's Babylon now? Modern day Iraq. You know what God meant in the Hebrew word desolate? It means horror or just chaos. What do you see in Iraq right now? Horror and chaos. You know, people still multiplied in Iraq. There's people there. But there is no peace. There's constant killing and destroying people because of their belief. Because they don't believe Jesus the Messiah, that he is our Lord. And we have battles and people dying because of a belief of one. There is only one Messiah and his name's Jesus. He is the one we're going to build on and need to be building on daily. Not just every Sunday. And see, God allowed them to go and rebuild, as we read. And what's cool about it, if you read in Ezra 1:6, he didn't just go fix your land. He sent them with some bling bling, man. He sent them with some bling bling. Look at Ezra 1:6. And all their neighbors who were remaining behind provided them with articles made of silver and gold, supplies, livestock, and valuable gifts, besides everything that was freely offered. These people here, yeah, go build. Let's go build a house. They were doing their part. You notice some of these people believed in Jehovah, this God of creation, and said, yeah, we probably can't go, but we'll help. We'll help here. They're helping build God's house. Look at Ezra 1:11. How much bling bling was it? I'm glad you asked. The gold and silver utensils totaled 5,400. God will always provide, folks. See, like Jeremiah or someone was saying this morning, it seems impossible. But once you get on the right track with God and you're lined up doing His will and not always your things first, He'll line you up and He'll make the way. Folks, see, I worked in the fields years ago and He started giving me better jobs and better people to be around with. Then He put me in the church. Then He put me in a Bible school. And now He's put me to preach. It's God. That was my call to tell you, to tell people about who God is and what He can do. He's not going to send you empty-handed, but He's not going to make it easy either. Because then we'd comfortably say, oh, we'll go tomorrow. The famous saying, ah, mañana, we'll do it tomorrow. It's going to be, get it done now. Do it now. Start building now. See, this book is very instrumental. I believe this book is very instrumental. Ezra, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, read these books. They're good for building and help building your church and your families. And if we truly embrace these principles, God will move and stir you. We must build the way God wants us to and be successful, not our own ways. Some of you are battling, struggling because you're trying to do it your own way. You're trying to stress it and pull it this way and stretch it. It's not going to work. You can be like Stretch Armstrong, stretch all the way over here, and it's looking pretty good. Oh, you come back over here. Did you hear that? I was totally intentional. Went in front of the speaker to scare you a little bit. It's a dynamic I've been practicing all week. I'm kidding. But it was cool though, huh? But anyways, we're going to stretch it. Don't force it, man. Just do what God says. You're all here to build for something for God. But I'm convinced that if we are to be a people to build God's house, we must be a people whose heart God has moved. A people who have given their hearts to God. A people have are moved by the cross, moved by God's love, moved by God's grace, moved by the adoption as children of God. Does that move anyone in here this morning? Does it move you to know that a King of glory died on the cross and shed His blood and gave His life for you? Does that move you? Does it move you to say, you know what, I am a child of God. I'm a believer and God is with me and I can do this. Amen? Amen. It's God. And some of you are probably thinking, well, now, Frank, but what does it mean to be moved in my heart by God? A lot of people don't know what that is. I didn't know what it was until I studied. You want to know? The moving of the heart is only caused by God or by other things. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not all about a fuzzy feeling you hear on Sunday mornings. It's not that song or that sermon. Oh, wow. It's all important, folks. It's good. We need to worship God. We need to hear the pastor speaking. And what's it telling you? How to lead your life. What you need to work on. It's important. But it's not all about that. See, what it means to be moved by God is this. If the movement of God doesn't result in this consistent, committed, genuine action for God, God didn't move your heart. He planted the seed. He didn't move your heart, but He planted the seed. You see? And a lot of us don't want to take that first step or start doing things for God or living for God or participating to help in some way. It's because you're choosing not to let that seed grow. Wanted or not, God brought the seed. People think that when they come to Christ and they serve for a year or two or live for Christ and then they dwindle away, He hasn't let you go, folks. In John, I believe it says, God's gift is irrevocable. His love will never stop loving you. He'll let you go play in the mud. You want to go dwindle and waddle around in the mud, He'll let you. But He'll be waiting just like Stretch Armstrong. He'll pull you back. But you got to want to come back. You got to have that want. If for the moment you will let God, He will do things in your life. He will stir you. God is stirring hearts of these people. But what was the key here in Ezra? As we read, what was the key? You know what it was? They responded. You guys have been here, some of you, sermon after sermon you're hearing. I am blessed by this young lady that God stirred her. And she's doing something about it. She wants to do for God. It wasn't all her. God moved in her. And in some of you that are serving and helping and doing for God, it's God. And he's stirring your heart. The key was to respond. As it says in Ezra 1:2, he stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing. God made this king. King Cyrus was not a believer in God, first of all. So some of you Bible scholars here, King Cyrus was a believer of other gods, idols. But God moved in him. In other words, there's people out there that can provide for God's kingdom as well, not even believing in God. There's people out there in the world that give a good lump sums to churches, be it money, be it things, be it clothes. They give because God has moved their hearts. And we think it's us. It's not us. When you want to give that box of clothes to someone maybe across the border or in the streets, it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit of God moving in you and stirring you to go do that. It has nothing to do with you. And you believe in this God and you start serving this God and you start building for this holy God we serve, he will start making paths open. He'll make things happen. And God stirred this king. Look at Ezra 1:5, and God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites, the leaders, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of the Lord. Let me give you a great nugget here so you kind of start grasping what I want to say and what I've learned these weeks in studying this. The moving of God. What is the word? You know what word stuck out for me? Stir. That's why I put it, stir me. Stir me up. You know what the word stir means in Hebrew? It's pronounced like this. I don't believe I didn't put it up there in my PowerPoint, but it's pronounced stir-u. Almost like stirring, right? Stir-u. You know what it means, stir-u? God wants to stir-u you. It means this, simply this. To awake. To be aroused. To be awoken. You see, I was living my life before Christ. I thought it was okay the way I lived. But it wasn't. I was blind till the Holy Spirit came. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And he grabbed me with his love. And he hasn't let me go. And he won't let you go. He'll never let you go. He says, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. Amen. He'll never let you go. And he's always trying to arouse you. But what's arousing you right now more than God? What are your eyes on? It should be God first. Folks, trust me. I empathize with most of you in this room. We all work. I know that. We all have jobs, a home, bills, chores, kids, you name it. But folks, if you start doing for God first, he will make it easier. Things will come about a little smoother. When you face those hard times and those situations you do not know how to handle and try to handle on your own. You students that are struggling with your grades, pray. Pray to Jesus, young ones. Jesus, this is a long test I got tomorrow. Can you help me? Instead, we're texting and, oh, here comes mom. Let's look like we're studying. Hey, mama, yeah, I'm studying. They close the door, start texting, get on the email. God can't help you that way. Come on now. He wants you to do that homework, young ones. There's good future for you in studying. Listen, I didn't study all my life. I made it to the 10th grade, and I worked hard all my life, labor in the sun, oh, my back and everything, you name it. But since I started following God, he has lifted me and lifted me to better positions with better people, a great job. It's stressful. Yeah, my job is stressful, but God is there. And I give him the glory. We need to do for God. We need to do for God. 1 Peter 2:9, because we are a holy people, God chose us, and many of us think we don't belong or don't qualify to serve. Look at 1 Peter 2:9, you're wrong. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. It's right there. You are a priesthood. The priesthood in the translation there in the Hebrew means this. It sounds like this. This is a weird one, but don't get me wrong. It's how it sounds. Here at Yuma. And I don't mean the Yuma down that way. That's how it's pronounced. Here at Yuma. okay? But I want it to happen here in Remnant, okay? So God moved here in Remnant, okay? And that word, it means this. Definition, active office or position. You see, you all have an active office or position. You little ones, you teenagers, what's my position, Frank? You're a student. Your God is your heavenly Father. Your parents, God gave them to you. And where he has you, in whatever school, that's where God wants you. And to be successful, you pray to him. You parents, he has you where he has you because that's where he predestined you. You have a part in life. Believing in God, serving God, and then your family, and then your things around your life. That's what it is to be in position or an active office for God. Let me ask this. I'm going to go this far because it's here in my notes, and God wanted me to say this. There's roughly maybe 60, I don't know how many people are in here, roughly. There's 48 Sundays in a year. In a year, 48 Sundays, give or take. If one of you would take your build card notes that you're writing on where it says build that was handed to you, you picked up at the table, write your name and your phone number on there. Fold it up and drop it in the box. God is challenging you right now. I talked to my pastors this morning. They didn't know I was going to say this, so I brought it to their attention. God is challenging you. Let's say there's 60 of us right now. There's 48 Sundays. If you all put your name and number, I will delegate a Sunday you can help. One time a year. Is that too much to ask and do for God? One Sunday to come just probably put the chairs up or show up a little like at 9 or 10 and go help with kids' church and set up. There's little things that the few women that come here help in the morning can do. You are to build God's house. And I know some of you are ill and some of you probably have kids. It's doable, folks. One Sunday a year. That's all God would ask you. Yet he gives you life through all your life and you can't give him one Sunday? Sign that card. Put your name. I promise I will go pick up all those cards from Jeremiah and I will text you and ask you what Sunday you can come. I don't care if my phone blows up. Put your name. When you text me, please, I tell people call me. I just see a number. I don't have very many. I don't know them by memory. I know them by names. Put your name, put your phone number, and text me. Say, Frank, I want to help on a Sunday. 1 year. And you wonder what sometimes our homes are in shambles? Listen, I have a great marriage. I have a new wife. It's not perfect, but it's great because God's in it. And we're serving him. And yeah, we get tired. I work, she works. There's things to do around the house. But we're putting God first. And you need to start building his house, serving him at whatever capacity. You can do it. God says you can't because you're a royal priesthood. And you can say, no, I'm not. Yes, because by definition, it says it right there, God is concerned about his priests. By definition, we're priests. And the priests of today are so concerned about their own dilemmas. They're so concerned on focusing on their own things. And the priests of today are asleep. Many Christians are asleep. Yeah, I'm going to Remnant. And some of you are literally asleep when we're preaching. But Frank, you don't understand. I was up till midnight last night. There's no excuse. I'm sorry. I do things on Saturday nights. My schedule's so busy, I'm willing to sacrifice to spend this precious time with my new precious wife. I'll stay up late. I don't care. And I still want to get up. I tell God, I don't want to get up. Here I go. I'm going to Remnant. And I'm here. Once I get here and these guys are the girls and we're, man, just to come hear me. I'm louder then than now. I try to wake them up because they wake me up. I see them constructing and building and I get fired up. Everyone's like, oh, Frank, I wish he'd shut up. This is me on Sunday mornings, man. I'm excited. Once I'm out of that bed and I come with my body of Christ, I am fired up. You see how I drum? That's Jesus. That's the passion. That's the gift he gave me and I want to give it to God. So you guys can be moved by his spirit and worship him. Take it in. And then he's stirring you. And then let that seed grow. But we're asleep. We're asleep and we choose to be asleep. You guys have some good justified compromised reasons, I'm sure. But, wow, that's a good one. Great reason. But, I can't because of this. I can't because of that. One Sunday a year. Yes, you can. One Sunday. And God is concerned about the priests. Look, King Cyrus, Ezra, the leaders, the people, the ones that just offered to give, responded to the stirring of God. What is stirring you today more than God? What can be more important? I told a good friend this morning that I've seen for the first time in a while, there's nothing better than serving God now. We hung out in the past, and I told him how good I thought that was, playing in bands and traveling, meeting people, but I was all messed up, lost in the dark. And I've been serving God all these 16, 17 years, and I can't get enough of it. That's the stirring of God. But we have some good, compromised, justified reasons, don't we, why we can't, or we choose to be asleep. I work a full-time job, and so do these other pastors. It's not easy, but it's God stirring, so we're responding. Oh, God, here's that person again. Okay, Lord, I've got to answer him. What kind of pastor would I be? If I never answer your phone call, shoot me a text, please. I will answer the text. The only thing is my environment doesn't always allow me to answer, but I will text. Remember my warehouse I work in? I go hide over there. I'm going to go check out the box. And if I don't know the verse, I go, let me look at my office record. I'll look it up, Google my Biblos I have, and then go to the warehouse and text you back with the scripture. If not, I'll get it on my phone. Please text us. Text me. I love to give you biblical verses at whatever level. I'm very busy at work, but I don't care. I want to answer people. I want you to know what the stirring of God is. And you should be the same. Grasp it. Run with it. Don't leave these doors like you do every Sunday the same. Take something every Sunday you're here and go work on it. You're all built to do something. And God wants to use you. God already gave us this building. What do you want? We were praying for another building, for a facility. Now we have nurseries, classrooms, a nice environment here, the restrooms. Now we have a cameraman. What's up? This is my good side. Oh, I look good this way. Hi, Mom. She can't see me. We have the building, folks. Look at it. He gave us a building. Now it's time to respond, folks. Help us build Remnant. And through here, your homes will be built up. You're going to get biblical views and standards and the moving of the Holy Spirit to stir you to take it home, to take it in your life environment and apply it. That's why King Cyrus knew. Because King Cyrus was into gods and idols, and he saw these Jewish people, these Israelites, and he said, wait a minute, what is all these articles here? All this, well, it belongs to them, and they're from over there. Well, you know what? Call them, send them out. That was God stirring this unbelieving man because he solidly believed in gods and idols. He gave them all the utensils back, and he shipped them back to take them back to Jerusalem, where they go in the tabernacle, because the king before him was Nebuchadnezzar, and he was evil and mean, and God wiped him out too. And Cyrus knew, so he sent them back. God knows our needs, and it's time to build our lives, our homes, our relationships, help build Remnant. So what does God want us to work on to build successfully? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, 4, and 7. This is what we need to work on to have successful building in our lives, in our church, in our surroundings. God's will is for you to be holy, to stay away from all sexual sin, verse 4, then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and in honor. Verse 7, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates us, our body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, remember therefore is there for a reason. Therefore, your minds must be clear and ready for action. Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring when Jesus Christ appears again. Because you are children who obey God. Don't live the kind of lives you once lived. Once you lived to satisfy your desires because you didn't know any better. But because the God who called you is holy, you must be holy in every aspect of your life. Scripture says, be holy because I am holy. Holier than thou. No, no. Just don't do the things you used to do. See, all the drinking, all the lying and cheating I did to my past partners, nothing but havoc, nothing but problems, and nothing but distrust. That's all that brought me. God always gave me another chance and another chance. And now here I have a new beautiful wife, and I'm going to run with it. I work every day to treat her like a queen. Am I perfect towards her? Not always. But you can ask her anything you want after church about me. Anything. I'm that bold. Because you know what? It's God stirring me to love her. This book has taught me how to love a wife. This book has taught me how to love people. God's word has stirred me to minister and to witness and to learn how to keep my mouth shut when I shouldn't speak and to know when to serve God when I need to, when I don't want to. The Bible. I want to build for God. I want to see all my family saved one day and believing in Jesus. All my family doesn't know Jesus. They know about God. I don't know where they'll be when they take their last breath. Which side of eternity? The Bible tells me where you'll be if you follow and believe in Jesus. You'll be in heaven. You'll be in heaven. So how did these people do this? Cyrus and Ezra and Nehemiah and all these leaders and priests. First point, you need to make a decision to be pure. And I got to go fast. I got 10 minutes to swing through 3 points really quick, which they are short. First, you need to make the decision to be pure. What do I mean by that? To not defile ourselves by our ways or ungodly ways. Look at Ezra 3:1. In the early autumn, when the Israelites had settled in their own towns, they're already over there for Cyrus and them, all the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. They decided, look, let's go and build for God. God's going to provide for us, which he did. You saw the bling bling they had to go with. And they gathered. We're gathering here, folks. It's time to build. It's time to do your part. One Sunday out of a year. That's not asking a lot. He's a good God. Look at what defile means. To make unclean or impure. To corrupt. The purity of perfect or a perfection. To taint, dishonor, contaminate, pollute, dirty, soil, poison, smear, blot, blur, smudge, stain, tarnish, profane, infect, and disgrace. That's what the word defile means. We need to work in these areas in our lives, guys. We're not perfect, but we can work on them. See, I used to talk like a sailor. I acted like a sailor. I did all the things the sailors did in the past. And through God's word and building for him and serving in church and learning to love my family and my wife and my kids and the church and respecting the other pastors and leaders and being told what to do at a church service, I did. We need to go there, folks. We need to make that decision to be pure. If we are going to build a house for God, we're going to need to cut some things out. You need to cut some things out, folks. Look at Philippians 3:8. It's far more than that, Paul says. I consider everything else worthless because I'm much better off knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's because of him that I think of everything as worthless. I threw it all away in order to gain Christ. You see, that's the good key right there, a good verse to work on. See, my drumming and my clubs and my friends, my hangouts were my thing, and they're not no more. I count it worthless. I want to play here for God so worship would be settled in unity for God. You all have a gift to build somewhere in church, at your work, at your home. We can all build. And it's right there. You need a job and we need money, understandable. But if you learn to start applying what God says. Secondly, you need to put first things first. Put first things first. And I put that one there because we always say, I'll get it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. We never get to it. I'll pray for you. No, you don't. Just pray right there. Someone texts you, I need prayer. Okay, I'll pray right now. Just 5 minutes. God help this person during the situation right now. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, we glorify you. Amen. I'll pray for you. I'll go to you. We won't do it. You got to put first things first. You've been putting things off for a while. You know, I got to say this. I love my wife. And I've been wanting to do the yard so bad. I did it once so far since we've been married. It looks cruddy out there. But this is more important. She's more important. My time with her, whatever she needs to get done, I go with her first. I'll get to that grass sooner or later. It ain't going nowhere, fortunately. But we need to learn to put things first. The grass isn't, your house needs to look nice outside. But what's more important? I love that she gets up with me every morning at 5 to pray. Every morning at 5 to pray, Monday through Saturday. She gets up. And that encourages me because I get up like this sometimes. Dragging. She gets up happy sometimes and sometimes vice versa. That's why there's two. Encourage each other. You need to put things first. If we're avoiding negative influences, it's a start, but it's not enough. It won't go away. Look at what it says here. A pure, clean world doesn't make people pure. A pure, clean world doesn't make people pure. Why do I say that? Look what Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18. But whatever comes out of the mouth comes within. And that's what makes a person unclean. It's what's in here, folks. What's stirring you? What's moving your heart? What are your desires? Your things first and maybe God second or third? Or you know what, God? I want to serve you. I'm going to do for you. And he lines it all up. Remember in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 all the way through 7, it's all in red. When he's preaching to the people on the mountain. And if you do all these things, Jesus says, and practice them, they will all be added on to you. But if we want to do our own thing and start just cruising around or dwindling, of course it's going to get rough. This is the best thing. I love what Jeremiah says. This is our family. You guys, we're all one family. I can't wait for the Super Bowl party because I'll get to talk to most of you one-on-one and laugh. You'll see how really crazy I am. This is nothing. I want to fellowship with all of you. But it's kind of tough as pastors. There's a lot of you. So hopefully you can make it to that Super Bowl party. Even if it takes a Super Bowl game to gather us and hang out and encourage each other and sharpen each other. As the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. That's what it takes. And learn from each other. Feed off from each other. It's not enough avoiding the negative influences. You got to watch and be careful. All our family should be involved in building. Look at Ezra 3:2. Then Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, joined in his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, with his family in rebuilding the altar of God. Look who was involved. Joshua and Zerubbabel. And who else? The whole family. The whole family. The kids were all there helping move rocks probably. Sweep, clean. They're all there. It's right there. Everyone needs to be involved. Little ones, you can be involved. If you want to go to kids' church and help, little ones. You can help the teacher. She needs help. Teenagers, whatever it takes, start a youth hangout during the week. Guys, Sunday is not enough. Sunday is not enough. You need to stay plugged in more regularly, twice, three times a week. It's good for you. Yeah, sometimes we're at the Bible study and we're falling asleep, you know. It happens to me, but you're there. You're making that effort. We should all be involved. Let me ask you this. This is what I put. What kind of crop would a farmer harvest if he removed all the weeds faithfully, fertilized, soiled, and make sure it was fertilized and received all this proper water? What kind of harvest would he have if he did all this work, but he never planted the seed? Right? Nothing's going to grow. It's time to build, folks. And lastly, we must determine to know where the line is. You must determine where the line is. That line? What line? What are you talking about? This one's a tough one, but I'm going to end it here. Which line, you ask? The line of personal sin. The line of personal sin. We must determine to stay safely at a safe distance and keep it behind us. Because King Cyrus knew. He knew where that line was. Look at Ezra 5:14. King Cyrus returned the gold and silver cups that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God. There's people ripping God off. Oh, me? I don't go near the offering box. What have you done to help Remnant? Giving, folding chairs, calling each other, going to a Bible study, that's serving God. That is serving God. That's sin. We need to get busy, folks. We must determine what things are healthy and what things are not. Let's ask self these questions. Look at these questions I put for self. Yourself and myself. Here it goes. See how close to the line you've been. There's only four. Listen carefully. In what areas of your life do you constantly struggle? Are there any particular sins to which you are constantly vulnerable? Do any activities consume too much of your time? What's Satan's most effective bait been lately to attract you? Those are the lines of your life and mine we need to start staying away from. That's where we fall short. And then you're not going to want to serve. You're not going to want to read. You're not going to want to go to church or Bible study. You start making your compromised, justified reasons, which sound good to some of you sometimes. Moral failure is rarely from a blowout. It's a slow leak. Like the frog in the kettle. Put him in the cool water. Frog's in there. Right, I got me a crib. It's a nice big pot. Nice. Turn up the heat. He's falling asleep. It's getting warmer and warmer before you know he's cooked. Slowly. It starts slowly, folks. Let's not be like the frog in the kettle. What's the big deal of just looking? Was it a big deal that Eve looked at the fruit? Was it a big deal that King David just looked at a woman bathing? Was it a big deal that Samson was just checking out all his muscles? Of course it was a big deal. That's another line we all cross sometimes. We need to work in those areas to be successful people for God. And I'll close here. Satan knows you won't bite into a 16-ounce steak of sin. So he cuts it up into little pieces for us. So we can slowly start eating that steak. And that's when we say, it's not a big deal. But then it's too late. You went too far. We knew we shouldn't have said that, done that, been there. Or we knew we should have went to church, woken up, went to the Bible study, made time for reading. People don't build because they're too worried about themselves, their rights, and their wants. And they're convinced about it. Their way comes first no matter what before church or God. Those are areas we need to work on. It's time to live pure lives. Put first things first and put that line behind us. And it's time to give back to God and build our house, guys. Worship team, come on up, please. He's still stirring hearts. He's stirring you right now. He's speaking to your heart, and he wants to do great things through you. I never thought it would amount or be where I'm at now. But just simply because I wanted to follow God and be moved by his Holy Spirit, this is where I am. He's made me a fellow brother in Christ with Jeremiah and Jerry, which I love dearly. These men are mentors to me. You, church, are encouraging to me. Because you're a part of me and I'm a part of you. And we love you dearly here at Remnant. And if you're a regular part of this body, you need to be woken up. It's time to start being wooed by the love of God and start doing his work. And that's what's going to make your spiritual life, your relationships, your jobs, and your surroundings a little smoother. You ever played with Legos? I have. They lock together. We're a building block that God's building right here. Let's work together, amen? Let's stand and worship. God bless you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You